Good morning and welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday. My name is Erin Racine and I am the pastor of Congregational Care and Hospitality here at West End. Whether you are joining us online or you are here in the sanctuary, whether this is your first time joining us for worship or you've been here your entire life, we are so glad that you are joining us for worship this morning. For those of you here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each pew, and I invite you to fill those out and pass them down the row so that we can know who is joining us this morning. If you're with us online, there should be a link in the chat, or you can go to westendumc.org/attendance to let us know that you are with us this morning. Following our service this morning, we will hold our traditional Easter brunch in McWhirter Hall, which is directly below the sanctuary here. There will also be overflow seating on the west lawn, in the gym. If it's not raining and you want to go out in the cold, you're welcome to go on the west lawn, but there will be overflow seating in the gym this morning. Now let us prepare to worship the risen Christ.
Easter proclamation. Christ is risen.
Thank you. And the people said, Amen. Let me hear it again. Amen. We have been released from tombs of pain and doubt, fear and death. We are emerging into the wonder of faith with hope in our hearts.
We are Easter people, and hallelujah is our song.
Jesus calls to us by name, inviting us into forgiveness and freedom.
We are Easter people, and hallelujah is our song.
Let us worship our risen Lord with gratitude and joy. Let us come to the mercy seat, bringing our wounded hearts and our anguish. Let us lay our burdens before God, that we may arise in wholeness and joy to follow Christ. Now let us confess our sins. God of glory, you have made us Easter people through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. As our alleluias rise with joy, grant that we might faithfully proclaim the good news, share in Christ's redeeming work, and cultivate hope and peace by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. And now hear the good news, the very good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, we invite you to do that with the people that you're worshiping with or share greetings in the chat. And for the few of you that are gathered here this morning in the sanctuary, we invite you to pass that peace in whatever way feels most comfortable to you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Resurrection God, open our hearts to your holy word so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone roll away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told him all this to the 11 and to all the rest. And now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Great is the mystery of the gospel. Thanks be to God.
You may be surprised to see me up here. I usually preach from down there, but with the beauty of the flowers and the beauty of all of your faces, I just wanted to get a better view. This is the fullest this sanctuary has been in over 2 years. Praise be to God that we can be here together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on this morning. It lifts my hearts and spirits to be with you. The energy that we experience in this room this morning, in this sanctuary, the number of faces that I'm seeing as I look out are a stark contrast to what it was like in those early moments of dawn on Easter Sunday, when the resurrection was revealed through whispers at dawn. Luke tells us the story this morning, and he invites us to join a group of women as they go to visit the tomb of Jesus. And so I want to invite us all to come alongside of these women this morning as they make their way to the tomb. But before we get there, I'd like for us to take a few steps back and trace their footsteps all the way to the tomb. You see, in Luke's gospel, this is a group of women that we meet all the way back in chapter 8, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In chapter 8, Luke tells us that there was a group of women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others, who had at some point been healed by Jesus. And then they chose to follow him and to help support his ministry. They cared for him and his disciples as they all traveled around Galilee in ministry together. These women were some of Jesus' disciples from the very beginning of his ministry. We see them again mentioned by name on Good Friday. They are there as Jesus is nailed to the cross, and they witness him as he takes his last breath. They're mentioned again as standing there and watching as Joseph of Arimathea takes Jesus' lifeless body and places it in a tomb. So they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is dead. Their friend, their Lord and Savior, their teacher, their rabbi, their beloved one is no more. And this ministry that they had been part of, this movement of the birthing of the kingdom of God on earth, has now come to an end. And after Jesus is placed in the tomb, they go back to where they had been staying and do the only thing they know how to do. Put together some ointments and spices so that they can take care of his body and give him a proper burial. There's nothing left for them to do. From their perspective, it's over. And then the sun goes down on Friday, and it's the beginning of the Sabbath day, and they're faithful Jewish women, and they know that they're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And so they rest, or they try to. Can you imagine how helpless and hopeless they must have felt just sitting on their hands for 24 hours, not able to do anything but wait? And so I'm not surprised that Luke says that at the very earliest moment of dawn, as the light just began to break, these women made their way to the tomb. I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed up all night waiting for the Sabbath to end so they could go and care for the body of their beloved Lord and Savior. I wonder, as we think about them in those moments before they discover the empty tomb, if we can identify with them, if we can imagine what it was like to be them and the other disciples on that Saturday, feeling so hopeless and helpless, as if death had had the final word, as if empire had won the day, as if hate had overcome love, as if everything they hoped for the future had been stripped away. I know many of us, if not all of us, know what that feels like. As we have lived through these 2 years of pandemic, the helplessness so many of us have felt. In those months before there was a vaccine, there was just nothing we could do but wait. And even after the vaccine, if we got vaccinated, we still had to wait and wait, helpless and unable to do anything to make it go away. We've had that feeling, I know many of us have, as we've followed the events of what's happening in Ukraine, and I don't know about you, but I feel so helpless. I can pray, but I don't know what else to do. And it feels like evil has won the day. It feels like death has won. It feels like empire has come out ahead. Maybe in your own life, in the life of those you love, you have faced a loss, a disease, a loss of a job, struggles that you feel helpless to fix. And it feels like all that there is to do is to sit on our hands and feel lost. Well, these women are with us in that feeling. And yet here they are, showing up, just doing what they can do, bringing their little jars of spices for this final act of love for Jesus. And it's because they show up that they're the first to hear the news. They get to the tomb expecting the body of Jesus to find it empty. Now, at first, they're just perplexed. They don't know what in the world has happened. And then suddenly, two figures in dazzling clothes appear before them. Luke doesn't call them angels. I'll call them angels. Messengers from God, whispering at dawn, "He is not here. He is risen." I don't know if they could grasp it at first. Luke never says that they believed right away. They just began to remember, as the angels told them to, that Jesus had told them before, three times, that he would die and then would rise again on the third day. And it begins to dawn on them, and so they run and tell the others, "He is risen." And the others don't believe them. In fact, they say it's leros. That's the Greek word. And from that word, we get the word delirious. It's nonsense. It's hooey. There is no way in the world that that is possible. And we can't blame them. How impossible is it to believe that Jesus would be raised from the dead? And yet, as these women, as all of these disciples, sat in darkness and hopelessness and despair on that Saturday, God was raising Jesus from the dead. It looked to them like all was lost, that there was no hope, that everything was over. And even as they were thinking and feeling all of those things, God was at work in the darkness, bringing about life from death, giving victory to love, bringing an end to the power of empire once and for all. They didn't even know it yet. I don't know about you, my friends, but that gives me such deep hope. In those moments when we feel helpless and hopeless, when we think all is lost, when we think it is over, God is at work, redeeming and bringing about new life. It is good news for you and me because it's a reminder that it is not we who save the world. We do not raise Jesus from the dead. It is God's doing and God's power, and it is already done. So even now, in those moments in our lives, in our world, when we begin to lose hope, let us remember that we are Easter people and that God has already finished the work. Our job is to be like these women, to show up, to do what we can do, to do our best to begin to grasp it and believe it, and to go and tell others. You know, through this whole last chapter of Luke's gospel, it's a dawning of belief. Those disciples didn't believe it at first, and then even when Jesus appears in their midst as the risen Christ, Luke tells us they are still wondering, and in their disbelieving, they're still not sure what to make of it all. But Jesus is risen from the dead nonetheless. So if you have struggles believing it, if you struggle with the darkness and believing that love really wins and that death does not have the final word, then you are in good company this morning. And you can rest assured alongside me and all of us that Christ has been raised from the dead without our help. And hear the invitation that comes from these women this morning. It's like two sides of the same coin. On one side of the coin, Christ has been raised. God has raised Jesus from the dead, and there is nothing left that we need to do. On the other side of the coin, God has raised Jesus from the dead, and so now we must do what we can do to bring our jars of spices, to show up to the world as it is with love and hope, to tell the story with words if we have to, but always with our actions, with our love, and with our hope. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Amen.
Easter people, let us rise in body or in spirit, and let us affirm our faith together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to this prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow us under the link under Contact Us on our website if you are online. There are also gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill out a prayer request and put those in the offering plates as they go by. This morning, we remember Alice Sanford and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother, Lucy Rebecca Sparkman McCown Abernathy, who passed away on April the 7th in Giles County, Tennessee, at the age of 102. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. We also extend our sympathy this morning to the family and friends of West End member Walt Johnson. Walt is survived by his wife, Julia Johnson, and their children, Maggie Johnson and Turner Johnson. A visitation will be held here at West End on Friday, April 22nd, from 4 to 7 p.m., and a celebration of life will take place here in the sanctuary on Saturday, April 23rd at 11 a.m., with visitation beginning at 9:30 a.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the empty tomb, on this day of joy and celebration, we give you thanks for the beauty of your creation, for the miracle of second chances and new beginnings, for the hope of renewal and transformation. We give you thanks for Christians all over the world and throughout the centuries who have faithfully shared the good news through their words and actions. But most of all, O God, we give you thanks for your great love for us in Jesus Christ, declaring once and for all that death does not have the final word. Even as we celebrate this morning, we recognize that there are those who are suffering and hurting this day. May your grace surround them. May your love uphold them. And may your peace prevail in their hearts. Grant them your healing, O great Redeemer, that they too might bear witness to your renewing power. We pray for hurting places throughout our world, where there is war and violence, where there is poverty and hunger, where there is sickness and disease. May your Spirit be present, bringing transformation and new life. Help us all to be bearers of your good news, O God, not just in the words that we speak, but in the very pattern of our lives. Like the women at the tomb, may we be surprised by your power, amazed by your grace, and may we share the good news with all the world. We ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On this day of joy and celebration, we respond to God's great love and grace through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Those of you worshiping with us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, ushers will be passing offering plates down the rows. May we give this morning as we are able, knowing that the God of resurrection will turn all that we offer into gifts that will transform the world.
May the glory of this day fill our hearts. May the hope of resurrection fill our lives, that we may go from this time of worship to be people of resurrection and hope in a world that needs it so desperately. May we know with assurance what God has done for us and all the world. And may we go in peace and joy and singing hallelujah. Amen.